The following is a King's Chapel, Alaska presentation with Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion's making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's call and help us be the personal, powerful, permeating church God's called us to be. For more information, visit kcalaska.com or find us on Facebook. Here's Pastor Daniel.
In a series entitled The Mantle. Everybody say The Mantle. 2 Kings chapter 2, continuing in the text, starting in verse 15, we'll read through verse 25. Appreciate our worship team. Thank you so much, Pastor Alex, Minister Micah, and all of you that work so hard. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15, if you're all there, say, woo! All right. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him, and they bowed down to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice that our situation of the city is pleasant as the Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground is barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." And so they brought it to him. And when he went out to the source of the water, he cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water, and from it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going on the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." No, you didn't. I can't believe that. Crazy. Verse 24. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled the 42 of the youth. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Father, we thank you. Come on, lift your voice and ask God to speak to you today. We thank and praise you for what you've done, Lord, in the time of prayer and worship and the offering, Lord, and all that you've done. God, we could go home and say, "Man, that was good." We're encouraged. Now, Lord, I pray that you would allow for me to be able to speak your word, giving living understanding to the hearts of each and every one of us. Lord, that you would speak to us clearly. Release your power and your anointing. Break what needs to be broken. Bring healing, restoration, conviction, and encouragement. Living understanding into each and every one of our hearts. Not just head knowledge, Lord, not just learning, not just a lecture, but impartation from heaven. If you have the freedom to pray in your heavenly language, just do that right now. We thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're in the midst of a series, as I said a little earlier, called The Mantle. Everybody say The Mantle. The Mantle. This is the third message in the series. The first reference of this mantle, and the mantle is, it's made of hair, it's made of animal hair, and it would come over the shoulders kind of like a shawl. In fact, the root word means is the word that we get shawl from. First mention of it is the great towering Old Testament prophet Elijah is in the cave. He's in the cave of the Lord, and he's seeking God. He's defeated the prophets of Baal. He's in the cave, and the wind comes, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And the fire comes, and the Lord wasn't in the fire. And the Lord comes with a still, small voice. And it says he hid his face in his mantle. It's the first time you see that. And it's from there on that we see that prophets were identified by this mantle that they would wear. And you can read in different places in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, John the Baptist, the burning, shining lamp. He wore a coat of hair. And he said, well, what's the big hairy deal? Glad you asked. The mantle represents the call of God. It represents identity with the Lord. And Elijah was called of the Lord and he was anointed by the Lord. It also represents the anointing. In fact, when the still small voice comes and Elijah hides his face in the mantle, the Lord says, go anoint this person, and this person. And as Hazael, I think it is, king, the next king in his place, go anoint Jehu and go anoint Elisha. Actually, it's Elisha and then Jehu. But the interesting thing is, he never personally takes oil, and that's the picture of the anointing, is taking oil and putting it over the head of the king, a prophet or a priest. He doesn't use oil. He gives delegated authority to one of the prophets of the school of the prophets to anoint Jehu, I believe it is. And you can go look in the text. I might have mixed it up a little bit, but it's right in there. But it's this mantle that he throws on Elisha, and it's a picture of the anointing as well. So Elisha, as we talked about, then seeks for this double portion anointing. So the mantle represents the call of God, the power of God, identity, calling. But it also represents the power of God, the anointing of God, the calling of God being passed to the next generation. And Elisha was the servant of Elijah. And so he says to his master, who he really saw as a father, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer beside me? It's one of those crazy prayers. And Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken, then you can have the double portion. So the chariots and the horsemen of Israel come, and a double portion falls upon Elijah as he picks up the mantle. He goes to the Jordan and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he strikes the water and it goes hither and thither. Say it with me, hither and for all you King Jamesers. And so we pick up in this text here, it's just a quick review. Our response to the Holy Spirit's working, an introduction here, will determine your future. How you respond to the voice of God, how you respond to the Holy Spirit will determine your destiny. We all have a choice if you'll fill your notes in. And if you don't have notes tonight, today, this morning, how many of you know it's nighttime somewhere? You don't have notes and you'd like a set, just lift your hand up. We all have a choice. It's a choice. It's called the glory of man. Theologians call it the glory of man in the Garden of Eden. There's a choice. You don't have love without a choice. Adam and Eve chose wrongly and ended up cursed. Joshua said, choose this day who you serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice to obey God. It's a choice to obey his voice. If you look at the text with me, Elisha is now anointed. He's got the mantle. He's struck the water and it's gone hither and thither. And he crosses over on dry ground, and these prophets, so the school of the prophets, recognize that Elisha is now anointed. And they say, ho, wow. He's got the spirit of Elijah on him. And they bow to the ground and they gave him homage, one version says. And they say, let us go and search for your master. They come up with this great idea. Let's search for the man of God. And Elisha says, no. What did he say? He said, basically, no. And they pressed him and they pressed him and they pressed him. So he finally yielded, it says, and to the point where he was ashamed. And they yield and they go looking, and of course they don't find him. We go on and in the text, and the people of the city told Elisha that there's a problem with the water. He takes action and he prophesies and there's healing. It is told even today at that source of water that there's sweet life-producing water that comes forth. And he moves on from there, and some youths show up, 42 of them. And of all the things, they make fun of the lack of hair that he has. Now, the truth is, we don't know if he's bald or not. It's a Hebrew phrase that is used, so he could be bald. I've heard people say, oh, the greatest prophets are bald. I don't know. Frankly, if I had hair, I'd grow it out. going up you bald head. I mean, it's just like they're jeering him. It's just basically say, hey, you know what? You're an idiot and you can't do anything. I mean, that's what they're saying. It's not whether he has hair or not. That's not the point. They mock him and they ridicule him. And two bears come out, and they maul him. All right, how do we respond to the Holy Spirit? Now, in this text, you see three responses to the Holy Spirit. You see the prophets, so the school of the prophets, their response. You see the city, the town there who's got a water problem, their response. And you see the youth's response, if you're from the East Coast, youths. You see the youth's response, three responses. Let's talk about the first response, these prophets. They ignore the man of God and they do their own thing. Many times God will speak to people and we can get so in our head about what we're supposed to do or the way that we want it that we disobey the voice of the Lord. We can end up ignoring him and doing our own thing. Fill your notes in. You can end up ignoring the voice of God and doing your own thing. You see, to them, the prophets, or the school of the prophets, these guys, they can't imagine that Elijah's taken up to heaven. I mean, he must be somewhere else. I'm sure they'll be saying that at the rapture. What happened? There are times when the Spirit of God says no, and when we insist on doing our own thing. And that is sad. I've seen people lose out with God because they just can't imagine that God would say no. You know God says no. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, we long to go, but the Spirit of God hindered us. The Spirit of God said no. God says no. And he's not a cosmic bellhop. He just, you know, he just bless your plan. In fact, God stands over his word to see it performed. He doesn't stand over your opinion, though. And he doesn't stand over what you think is right. He stands over what he says is right. And he can speak to us. And many times we miss it because we have so set in our mind the way it should be. When God wants to release miracle power, but we can't fathom it. We can't understand it. Don't substitute real worship for God for what you want to do. You missed a great place to say amen. The woman who says, oh, I just, he's so fine. He's got such swag. I just got to have him. And the Spirit of God says, no, you're going to be unequally yoked. Stay away from him. He's a knucklehead, the Spirit says. He's like, what's up, baby? What's up? And the Lord says, no. But you got it in your mind that it's time and you got to do it. And so you end up messed up. The same happens for guys. Ooh, baby, you're so fine. And the Lord says, no, she's a hussy. Stay away from her. Isn't a hussy a type of bike, isn't it? No? Oh. It's close. The Lord says, no, but in your mind, you're like, oh, yes. God will speak to you and tell you no. Oh. The illustrations I could bring are endless. I have so many illustrations from my own life. Look at three. We must hear what the Spirit's saying. For if we persist, pay attention to this little note that I wrote down here. We must hear what the Spirit is saying. For if we persist in doing what we want to do, he will let us, so we will learn to hear his voice. Oh, I've gone to the seminary here, the seminary of the Lord, training me. Do it his way or end up in pain. He's trying to help you, but many people are forcing it. You know, you read Romans, the book of Romans chapter 1. It talks about how people know the right thing to do, but they don't, and they continue to press their own way. You know what happened? Really, a form of judgment is just the Lord letting you have what you're really trying to have. And you come out from under the hand of God and end up mauled. We've got to seek the Holy Spirit's help. And the result is a miracle. And you'll see this, of course, in the town. They seek for the Spirit's help, and they ask the man of God, we need help, our water's poisoned. And he says, bring me a bowl, a new bowl, and some salt. Now, I'm not going to make some theology out of this. What does all that have meaning? Does it have meaning when the bowl, there's bowls in the book of Revelation? Maybe it's a picture of prayer and the salt. We're the salt of the world, salt of the earth. And I don't know. And I really don't know. But I do know that God will give you specific instructions. And if you'll do the specific instructions and then speak the word, is the next thing. He casts the salt into this water source and then he prophesies. He speaks a word. Everybody say, speak the word. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And if you will learn to speak the word over your life, do not get in agreement with lies. Don't get in agreement with the devil. Don't get in agreement with what a loser you are or how you failed. If you failed and you've done some loserish thing, repent. Repent. Come back to the Lord and begin to live for him. Do specific things. You got to do the word to get word results. You want biblical results in your life? Do the word. Do the word and speak the word. Everybody say, speak the word. But I mean, there can be unusual things. Like I told you a story of a friend who was in the middle of a multi-million dollar lawsuit. And they go on this walk. And the Lord speaks to her and says, walk backwards. She thought, what? Walk backwards? So on this walk, she says, what have I got to lose? She turns around and she's walking backwards. And as she walked backwards, she saw everything differently, and God spoke to her and said, gave her a plan and a strategy to go through the whole thing. You know what God did? She followed the plan, was totally the opposite of what every lawyer would ever tell you, and just ended up being a blessing to the guy who was trying to rip him off. And God restored and blessed them and blessed the guy that was trying to rip them off, and they got blessed, and the whole thing diffused by operating the opposite spirit. You got specific things that God will tell you to do, and you got to speak the word. Amen. Look at C. Now, these are the three responses, and that's the title of the message, the response. I was going to call it RSVP, Respondez-vous, please, but I thought I'd just keep it the response. Three responses to the prophet representing the Holy Spirit in New Testament application. The first response is the school of the prophet guys, they didn't want to listen to the no. They wanted to do their own thing. The second response is this city, this town that needs help with poison water. And God heals them. And the third response is these youth. In application, we can oppose the Holy Spirit, but the result is death. There's real blessings and real curses that come. There is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But let me just tell you about that. If you're thinking you might have done it and you're sorry, you didn't do it. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is saying, attributing to evil that which is God. And that's basically denying the gospel. So if in your mind you know that Jesus is Lord and you have these thoughts, but you said, I curse you, God, at some point. I don't know about you, but I did that. I cursed God. Gave him a rude gesture and turned my back on him. Was very ugly for a while. Long ago. Everybody say, long ago. God snatched me out. There is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you're sitting here and you're thinking that maybe you did it, you didn't. And we have to be careful of a hardened heart. So the first one, responses. How are you responding to the Holy Spirit? How are you responding to his voice in your life? Are you responding like the prophets of the school of the prophets, doing your own thing? So the prophet says, don't go look for him because he's gone. Don't go. And they said, no, we're going. If you do that, you can end up, if we're looking back at that, you can end up wasting time. You can end up distracted as the first one, distraction, and you can end up wasting time. I'm just going to tell you a little story. Long ago, everybody say long ago. I was in the church, pretty newly saved. I'd got a job. I was making a lot of money, cash. Everybody say cash money. Okay. Under the table is the term. And I was blessed, man. I was making cash. I was getting cash at the end of every week. It was like awesome. It's the most money I'd made. And I remember skipping into church one Sunday morning, just lit, just excited about God. It's like, come on, church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was like, oh, yeah. Wonder what pastor's going to bring today. Man, worship's going to be good. Ooh, touch me, Jesus. I came in filled with expectancy. And I run into this business person who God had prospered them. They were older. You know, that I now realize they were pretty young, but I thought they were old. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so they said, hey, how you doing, Dan? I said, man, I'm praising God. I'm excited. I'm ready to tithe. I'm just going for it. They go, yeah. Well, what's going on in your life? I said, man, I got this girl. Come on, Jesus. I'm blessed. I've got this awesome job. I get paid cash money. Everybody say cash money. Under the table. And the person says like this, you tithing? I go, yeah. They go, well, it doesn't matter. You still need to pay taxes. And I said, excuse me? He said, you know, you give to Caesar what is Caesar, you give to God what is God. It's cash money. The right thing, you have to pay taxes on that. I was just like, my joy just drained right out the bottom of my legs. How many know what I'm talking about? I've been working the job for a year. I'm throwing, I bind you, devil, right now. Shatatata Mahaya. I take authority over you, demon spirit. I walk away and they go, you still need to say that you made that. You need to tithe. You doing that? I go, yeah, you need to pay your taxes on that. And I thought, okay, thanks. And I walked off and thought, God, there's a higher law at work. Praise God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. Well, you know what? I was convicted. And, you know, I sat down to do taxes that year. I had no little fund. I didn't save my 33% off to the side. And so now it comes time to put the figure what I made that year. I thought, come on, God. And I just sat there just like, and I just felt like the Lord said, are you going to live for me? Are you going to be honest? Are you going to be a cheater? What are you going to do? I'm going to be honest. And I wrote that figure down. It was just like, duh. Turned it in, man. I figured out what I had to make. I didn't have the money. I mean, we were living hand to mouth. You know, we didn't do financial peace. Consequently, we had none. You know, we were just hoping to just stay strong, work a few extra hours. I mean, you know, I didn't have no money to pay the taxes, so the bill came in. I'm thinking, well, you know, we had 2 cents to rub together. Maybe Jesus, you know, you put them in a cup and pray for multiplication or something. You know, nothing happened. So we owed this big amount to the IRS, and we couldn't pay it. So, you know, we go to extensions, whatever. I wasn't going to go asking somebody to borrow money. It was my bed. I'm sleeping in it. And so, you know, basically we tried to put it together, but it escalated. I ended up 20 grand in debt to the IRS. Come on, this is prior to being a pastor. Somebody say hallelujah. I was just learning to live, you know. Praise, church is not just a place you hear the word. You learn to live your life. Learn to have relationships. Learn how to handle your money. Learn how to live right. Pray. Learn how to pray. Learn the word. Learn to work hard. Come on, I had to learn how to put deodorant on. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen? Amen. I had this person say to me, listen, Daniel, yeah? He says, you know you're a man. I go, yeah. He says, well, you need to wear deodorant. I'm like, he's like, yeah, bro, you're ripe. You stink. And while you're at it, I love you, man. You know I love you? I know, yeah. You need to brush your teeth. Come on, I had so much plaque all up in my grill. It'd just be like, come on. Some of you are like, snap, that's like a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. I forgot what I was talking about. Deodorant. No. So we ended up in huge debt. I'm applying this to the prophets who came and wanted to do their own thing. It was presented to me through a man in the church, well-meaning, man of God, as near as I could tell. How many of you know? You can tell by their fruit. I mean, he had good fruit. Presented to me an opportunity of how I could wipe out all of my IRS problems through some simple forms and basically rejecting the IRS, some loophole in the Constitution. Some of you heard about it. It was big years ago. And the Lord said to me, do not do that. And I thought, bless you, Jesus. Wipe out my debt. Come on, debt eradication. Shandai. Shandalin. And I thought, this is awesome. This is God. I'm a tither. He's going to wipe out my debt. And this whole thing about the IRS being corrupt and all of that. We should probably mute this so we don't have the police show up. Come on, we love our nation. I'm a patriot all the way. Amen. I moved forward in what the Lord was quietly telling me not to do. Don't do it. I moved forward anyway because it was just kudu to be true. I'm going to get debt free. I want to be able to buy a house. You know, I had some problems. How many of you know the IRS ain't going away, baby? They're going to get you. Right? Somebody said they're like the devil. They're just going to get you, man. How many of you under the hand of the Lord, you don't have to worry about the devil. Just do the right thing. You don't have to worry about the IRS. Pray hard. Pray for revival. Amen. And so I was troubled because I felt the still small voice, but I wanted the $20,000 wipeout without me paying it. I went through the whole process. I proceeded on my own to do my own thing. I got counsel, but it just didn't seem to help because I had it fixed in my mind that God was going to wipe this thing out. I'll never forget sitting down to sign the final piece of paperwork that would seal the deal. And as I'm putting my pen on the paper, I've got my pen hits the paper. I hear, look, God, still small voice. I don't know about you. Sometimes he backhands me and yells. I put my pen down and the Lord says, I told you no. And I thought, the guy's looking at me. He says, this last piece of signing thing. I put the pen down and said, I can't do it. He said, what? I said, I can't do it. God won't let me do it. And he's convincing me, no, you're messed up. I'm weeping. God's saying no. And I said, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I'm going to obey God. I pushed myself away from the table. He said, well, you're a fool. I said, yeah, maybe. I'm going to obey God. I'm weeping. He's making fun of me. Man of God, making fun of me. Do you know what happened? I didn't say this in the first service. You know what happened? Most of the people that did that, they all went to jail. And God spared me. He was trying to talk to me, but I just wanted it my own way. Some of you are in the midst of the difficulty you're in when God has been speaking to you all along. All along he's been talking to you, but you insist. You insist on doing it your own way. And you wonder why you've got destruction and pain. You wonder why there's carnage. I mean, if you look in the rearview mirror of your life, you just see bodies wasted everywhere, missed opportunities, wasted time. Do you know what kind of time I wasted doing that? In disobedience all along. Okay, we're just reviewing the responses of the Holy Spirit. Don't be like those guys who insist on doing it their way and ask God to just wink at it. Can I tell you something? God doesn't wink at stuff, especially now. It's getting deeper. It's getting broader. It's getting wider. It's getting stronger. It's getting more fire. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be apathetic. Don't just think that God's going to wink at your little mandate, your thing that you're doing. It's number one response. Number two, that's the ones we want to be. We want to be like that city. Oh, God, I need your healing. Oh, God, I need your help. Lord, I need your intervention in my family. I need your intervention in my life. You want to rush the altar every time there's an opportunity. You want to be hungry for God. You want to spend time with him in your time, the quiet time that some of you never have, that God wants to meet with you in. That one? You want to have that quiet time. You want to spend time in the Word. You want to cultivate a hunger and a vibrancy of your heart. If your heart is dull with God, something's wrong. You want to be like that town, like that city. You want to just be like, oh, won't you come and heal my family? We have this issue. We have this problem. Lord, come, help us. And God will give you specific actions to take. And you speak the word over your life, over your brigade, over your employer, over your staff, over your job. I'm blessed. This place is blessed. Our church is blessed. My family is blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come and when we go. Skit, skit, skit. Blessed. Come on, say I'm blessed. Speak that. I was in the midst of cursing, and I would speak, I'm blessed. Be like that city that cries out for help, and when God says, do this thing, it might not make sense to you. You do it. You obey God. Obey. Obey Him. Obey His word. The last response is these youth, and I'll end with this. The real problem with the 42 youth is their parents. Oh, it just got warm and fuzzy in here, yeah. You see, had their parents been involved and raised them in a way to not be disrespectful and dishonoring. I read this text. Remember, never forget the first time I read it. It was like the Lord said, that's right, your mom was right. I thought, oh, yeah. My mom used to say to me, son, don't hang out in large crowds of boys that are doing bad things. I said, okay, Mom. She said, because they're like dogs. I go, what do you mean? And when she said, she talked about our dog. Do you know Missy? I go, yeah, Missy. You know, when Missy's a good dog, she doesn't eat the trash. She doesn't cause problems. She's an obedient dog. That's our dog when I was growing up, Missy, a blue tick coonhound. Pastor, you know what a coonhound is. All right. Anybody know what a coonhound is? Loved my dog. It was like our nanny would meet us at the bus stop. No leash law back then. But if Missy got involved with some of the other dogs in the neighborhood, they would go knock over trash cans and eat the trash. And I'm going to tell you something that's like that sometimes with youth. And the real situation with these youth is they didn't have fathers. Not godly ones that taught them don't do that. Not godly mothers. I don't think they had godly fathers and mothers that spoke to them the word that said, you don't do that. There is cursing and there is blessing. You see it throughout Scripture when the children of Israel crossing into the promised land on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, they pronounced these blessings and curses over them, and they were to choose. In your life, your response to God, listen, if you don't understand what someone's going on, something's happening in the Holy Ghost, whether it be, you know, praying in tongues, which honestly is like elementary. I mean, I've had people just freak out at me, pray in tongues? Tongues are of the devil. It's funny, I don't think I've ever seen people that, you know, were pounding a fifth of Jack speak in tongues. All right, some of you just don't know what Jack is. Okay, I'm just saying, I've never seen anybody, you know, that they just don't come out of the bar. Just don't see that. They say other things. You say, well, I don't know, tongues are, I mean, it's an elementary thing, another message. I'm almost done. If you don't understand what's happening, what the Spirit of God is doing, I've seen people hurk and shirk and shake and drop to the ground. I've seen people, one of the most incredible things I've ever seen was a set of stairs. It was seven. This is only like two steps right here. It was seven up to the platform. I saw a guy roll up and down for 30 minutes. Listen, I don't know what kind of core work you're doing, what kind of abs you got. You can't do that. 30 minutes. And I've seen pastors, even people that have said, oh, that herking and jerking stuff, all that shaking. One testimony coming out of Brownsville, a pastor drove with a van to Brownsville, the Brownsville Revival back in the early, in the 90s, 90, 95. Drove there, took a bunch of his board elders, leaders, went to this meeting and they sat there and people rushed the altars and they were shaking. People were crying. And when they got out and they left and they got in the van and the pastor's driving the van, one of the board members says, well, pastor, what do you think of all that shaking stuff? And the pastor goes, shaking, shake. I can shake. See? See, I can shake. He does it one more time. The power of God falls on him. He falls out of the van in the parking lot, weeping and crying with his face in the asphalt. With his face in the asphalt, weeping and begging God to forgive him. And he wound up in deep repentance because he didn't understand it had never happened to him. Listen, never define God because of what experience you've had. Never define the Lord because you've never seen it, or maybe it's never happened to you. Never. Always, always take God at his word. And if you don't understand sin, don't mock it. I've seen youth mock things in Scripture. I've preached even in this building and been preaching under a mighty anointing, and there's a good anointing right now, and seen people making fun of me in the back row. And I've had on occasion just embarrassed them. Why would I do that? Because I don't want them to get mauled. Don't you let your youth disrespect your wife. Don't let your son disrespect your wife. Don't you let your daughter disrespect your husband. And even if you're a single mom, God bless you, the Lord will make up the difference. You teach them how to be holy and righteous. You model it. You open the Word. Get in the Word. Have a life of prayer. Come to church. Don't talk stink about the bald head pastor. Come on, teach them the things of God. Teach them how to open doors for women. Can you say amen? Teach them how to hunt. Teach them how to fish. Teach them how to handle their money. Teach them how to live a life. For the love of God, get them off of the videos. It's robbing them. Do you allow videos in your house? Yeah, occasionally, but you're not going to let your eyeballs fall in your lap. There's time limits on it. I mean, I've seen people drooling in church because video screens have taken the place of actually real parenting because you're lazy. Oh, and I know nobody here. Nobody here, you guys are on it. Amen? I pray. Don't give your kid an iPad to substitute to keep him busy so he shuts up in church. Attention deficit syndrome, you better believe it's attention deficit. Give your kid some attention. Kids spell love L-O-V-E, right? No, they spell it T-I-M-E. That's how they spell love. Spend time with your kid. Love your kid. Teach him to honor. Amen. How are you responding in closing? How are you responding to the Holy Spirit? How's your RSVP? How is it? You doing it your own way when he's telling you to do something else? You're wasting time. It's a distraction. Number two, we want to be like that city. Oh God, come on, say it. Oh God, heal us. We want to be like hungry. They'll give you specific actions. You speak the word. Was right out of the notes. And number three, don't be like the youths. Don't mock, don't jeer, don't make fun of the things of God. You don't understand something? I've seen some crazy stuff. I don't put my mouth on it because I don't understand. Hallelujah. We want to respond to you. Lord, we want to lift our hands and lift our voice. We want to respond to you. Lord, we don't want to have a hard heart. That's the last point. We don't want to have a hardened heart, Lord. For all you note takers, that's the last one. Lord, we want to have a tender heart for the things of God, for the things of the Lord. Encourage one another daily, says the writer of the book of Hebrews. And see to it that none of you has a sinful heart, turns away from the living God. Come on, stand up on your feet. Come on, call on him. Call on the Lord. Call on his name. Lord, forgive us for where we've insisted upon doing it our own way. Forgive us for, Lord, where we've wasted time and been distracted like the prophets in this text. Lord, we want to hear your word. We want to obey your word. We don't want to insist upon our own way. We trust in you. Oh, some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in you. We trust in your way. You are the potter and we are the clay. We trust in you. We'll not lean on our own understanding. No, we'll acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will make our paths straight. You will make our paths straight. Every mountain be brought low. Every valley be raised up. God, you're using us. You're going to use us, Lord, and we're not going to insist on our own way. We say yes to your will, yes to your way. Lord, make us hungry. Make us a people that are thirsty. Come on, ask God to baptize you in hunger. We're hungry for more of you, Jesus. Ooh, we're hungry for more of you, Jesus. We're hungry for more of you. We're hungry for more of you. nothing else will satisfy. One more thing I want to pray and we'll close. Father, make us fathers like you. Godly mothers and godly fathers, help us to be parents that raise up a generation, Lord, that'll fear you, that'll love you, that'll be a people of prayer. Not a mocking, disconnected, apathetic, video addicted generation. A generation that loves your word. A generation that obeys your word. An Elisha generation. That'll not look to the things of time and tradition, but I'll look to you, God, the author and the perfecter, the satisfier, the deliverer, the healer. Raise up a mighty army, Lord, of youth. I said in the first service, I'll say again and then we'll close. When my daughter was born, she had some problems and we didn't understand what it was. She was born, she was just a few minutes old. It was a C-section. And so Karen was getting fixed up back there, and Pastor Karen and Hannah was basically given to me and brought in, put on one of those heater lamps, you know? And you know what I'm talking about? You got a little heat lamp, keep the baby warm and all that. And I was looking at her, and the word of the Lord came over me, and I went and hovered over my precious daughter, born on my birthday, which was also a sign from God. And I began to sing that song to her. And the lyrics of the song are, give her eyes to see your glory. Give her a voice to declare your wonders and ears to hear your voice. And I sang this song over and over and worshiped and prophesied over her for about an hour. And I know it was an hour because I looked at the clock and I went back down and prayed. And when I came back up, it had been a whole hour exactly. And I thought, wow, that's a great way to come into the earth. And then the enemy almost took her. She had all kinds of complications come. We had a fight for her life. She almost died. It was a horrible life, a horrible experience, but it was great because she's alive today. She sang that last song, my beautiful daughter. And we were closing the first service. I was praying and I had those words come out of my mouth. Give the youth eyes to see your glory, ears to hear your voice, and a voice to declare their wonders, your wonders. It's a picture, and I prophesied, and I'll prophesy again, that there's a birthing also that's taking place. And as we go through the narrow place, even with this next generation, it's tight, it's uncomfortable, man. And really, many of them are in incubators, but we're gonna teach them. Come on, we prophesy life over young people today. We prophesy an Elisha generation. Can you say amen? All right, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not right with God, you wanna give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment to him, if that's you. You're online maybe, you're listening by podcast, pull your car over. You're here in the congregation. That's you. You say, that's me. I need to get right with God. If that's you, slip your hand up right now. You want to get right with Jesus. Amen. I see that hand, young man. Thank you. I see that hand, sir. Praise God. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Come on, pray this right out loud with me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for rising again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all my sin. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Give me a hunger for the Word of God. A hunger for the things of the Lord. Fulfill all my purpose as I delight myself in you. Give me the desires of my heart. Break every chain. Break every bondage. And use me for your glory. And help me to respond to you, Holy Spirit. Give me eyes to see your glory, ears to hear your word, and a voice to declare your wonders. In Jesus' name, lift your hands all across this place. Holy Spirit, touch. Holy Spirit, touch your people now. Fill, heal, and bless in Jesus' name. Would you take someone by the hand? I hope you got something from the Lord. Don't miss tonight. I've got a powerful word tonight.
Thanks for listening to King's Chapel, Alaska, and Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion is making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's life call and help us to be the personal, powerful, and permeating church God's called us to be. Get in touch with us anytime at 907-357-2065, 907-357-2065, or online at kcalaska.com, kcalaska.com. Friend us on Facebook and follow Pastor Daniel's tweets at Alaska Revival.